Good morning and welcome to everyone this morning, and to you folks that we didn't get to greet. Well, we're so glad to see you. Welcome to each and every one of you. It's a great day to be in the Lord's house. Isn't it wonderful? God has given us a bonus of the past week. It's been pretty nice. I had a little windy storm last night. Hope you didn't have any damage from that. But otherwise, it's been a good week, and so I hope you had a great week, and the Lord has blessed you well. Glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, want to turn with me to chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. We do this once in a while, not too often, but we'll do. Want to lead you in what is called the Lord's Prayer. And, of course, what it really is, it really isn't the Lord's Prayer per se. It's just teaching us how to pray or what we should pray for. And as we go down this list that he has here, give some thought to what has been said here, that he does bless us in such a wonderful way. So he says here, then, if you're there, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
For him of worship, we're going to use number 428, sing the first and last verse, and Benny will have the prayer. Let's all stand.
Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, divine that never to fail. Heavenly sunlight, parting my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now that you have given us another opportunity to come together and to honor you and to praise you and worship you and to seek your will in our lives. So we pray, Heavenly Father, now that people have gathered here because they love you, because they have been blessed by you and they desire to follow after Jesus and to do your will as he did. As he did. He said, I always do my Father's will, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will be likewise, that we will follow and do those good things you'd have us to do. You bless us so abundantly, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the health and strength that we have been given. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for answering our prayers, and we see even here this morning where you've greatly answered our prayers, and it's just so joyous, Heavenly Father, to know that you are at work, and Heavenly Father, you work among the people, and you you do so wonderful things for us, and we just praise you for it. So this morning, as we come together, please take our gathering as a thank you to you, as an honor to you, and as a love toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us where we fall short and strengthen us in our walk with Christ. Help us do those things that are pleasing to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For communion, I'm using number 146, first and the last verse.
I hear the Savior say, my strength in him is found. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me not all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand, died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, he washed.
When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until the time of fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be back in the house again this morning, gather around our table. We're especially thankful for these emblems that we partake of, this cup and this loaf. We partake of in remembrance of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that the things that we do will be pleasing in thy sight. We ask that you be with us and bless us, because today we're in the Lord's house. We will be asking now. Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank thee again for this privilege you granted us together in your house. Thank ye now for the opportunity to have and bring back a portion unto thee. Thank ye now for the gift and giver of our building of thy kingdom. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Don't have anything to share in the way of announcements, unless someone else does. If anything taking place that you need to share with the church family. Otherwise, let's just go on then and turn to our prayer list. And we know that prayer works, and we can look around us and see that very well. And for you folks that maybe didn't notice, on the back row back there is an answer to prayer. Amen. Richard is back with us this morning. We're so glad to see him. Great, great. Just pray that things will continue to go well for you, man. Starting over here, we have Virginia's absent, Pauline's absent, and Virginia. Virginia spent a couple of days in the hospital last week. She come home, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, wasn't it? But anyhow, I thought she was doing okay, but she's not able to be here this morning. Come on back. Vernon's not here because he's down, went to Cincinnati this morning to be with his daughter. So she's in the hospital, which is on our prayer list there, Donald Webb. For you who don't know that Donald Webb then is Vernon's daughter. And got word last week she was in the hospital. She had a blood clot in her heart, plus some other things that they were having to deal with. But yesterday heard that the blood clot is being dissolved. They're doing something and dissolving that a little bit, but she's got other issues that we need to continue to pray for. Fanny isn't here today. She's not sick. She's sent into the hospital this morning with somebody because some of the kinfolks there is having a funeral today. And so she's there doing that. And let's see as we come across. Okay. Let's then look at some of the others on our prayer list here. We have some new folks on our prayer list. And somebody's already asked me about Daryl Cohn's wife, as we mentioned last week. And so I texted him this morning, early this morning, to get an update. And so her heart, they did the cat on the cath thing on her heart. And she's okay there, but she's got some other problems. And they're now making an appointment with a specialist there to see what's going on there. And I can't pronounce the word for that, but got a little difficulty to need there. But otherwise, she's done well. Thank you for the prayers, it says. And let's see. Billy Wilson got a text back from him this week, and he came home Tuesday, and he's going to do rehab. He didn't come back to here. He's in his Florida home. And so he's going to go now rehab. He said it didn't affect him too much on his side, his walk and so forth. It affected the side of his face. And he said he noticed a little different in his eyes. And so I don't know what that's going to involve. And so we pray that things will work out there for him. Let's see who else we got on here. Angela Gilbert, which is Stella Marshall's daughter. She's in the hospital. Johnny Jacobs, the firefighter that was mentioned, had the double lung transplant, died this week, so be in prayer for his family. Sylvia Rose, that we've had on our prayer list here, and I believe that's your aunt, and she passed away, and the funeral will be Tuesday, so be in prayer for that family. And Chandler Link, that young fellow that we've had on our prayer list for some time, he is home, but not because that everything's going well. It's just because he's got difficulties and a real problem. And so we just pray that God will give them whatever they need to make things work out for the good of that young man. It's a difficult situation that they're faced with there. Who else we had here? And okay. And then also, Angela's niece got word this week that she got home and is doing well. So there's another praise report there. It's just good. It's you know, we have difficulties. I mean, we've been told we're going to have those problems, difficulties and such. And yet the Lord is helping us. And Virgil, he's going, I think now, is it this week or pretty soon, to get another shot in his neck. And so he's improving there. Hopefully that I didn't get to talk to Ada this morning. I hope things is working out for you. She went and got a shot, and hope things is working better for you. And God is good, and we just have to keep looking to Him and take our difficulties and problems to Him, and He'll guide us and direct us and help us through. We see that. And Ron, most of you noticed Ron, have you got your shoe on this morning? he's had a different thing for his foot, and so we pray that that's all worked out well for him. And God is just so good. He just works among our people, and it's great. And so if I've left anybody out here, but all the people on our prayer list, we'll just keep praying for them and just keep seeing the good things happening that God is doing here for us. So who else? Okay. Certainly, we always mention our those who care for others, the doctors, hospital staff, the nurses, and so forth, and give up their time and so forth and their energy to be there to help people. God uses them a great way. Those in the care homes also, man, I mean, we're so glad that people do that. We had people that will do that, can do that, and so forth. Our service people, always keep them in mind, our country, what's happening, and so forth, and pray earnestly. We need to pray earnestly. The Australian people that's taking place over there, the far that's a terrible, terrible thing that's happening in that country. And just, you know, let's be concerned about home, let's be concerned about our church, but let's also be concerned about those, not only of our nation, but other nations that are having difficulties and problems also. We can pray for them likewise. So as we come to our prayer time, we have so much to be thankful for, and so many petitions and so many people that are in need. And we've, as Doodle says, it's been a kind of tough year, but we've had a lot of people that's had different things, and seems like it's somehow or another that a lot of people has been affected with different types of things that is kind of unusual for this time of year and so forth. So, as I said, I'm actually went to the doctor Thursday. And I sat there, as I was telling Doodle, I sat in the parking lot because I didn't want to go in with her, you know. I didn't want to get something that's in there, you know. And as I sat there and watched the people, it was just like Grand Central Station going in and out, you know, people and man affected. And so I visualized, you know, all over the place, it's like that. It's not only just that one office. So a lot of people in the suffering different things. And so just be thankful that God's looking after us and blessing us, and pray for those who are in need as we come to our prayer time.
Our prayer hymn is one, we're using number 217, first and last verse. And Robert will have her prayer. That's all said.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I sad, he makes me glad, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, I want no better friend. I trust him now, I trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life, such a friend, beautiful life that has no end, eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.
Our most gracious and holy Father, we thank you for prayer. We thank you for a God who answers prayers, Lord, and we know that your healing hand can heal these problems and these troubles that are afflicting your people. We ask
invitation hymn, number 385. 385. And at this time, Donna will bring a special.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased. sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Good morning. Everybody have a good new year? Yeah? That's good. I brought mine pretty interesting. We had a sickness hit our household. It was fun. But that's all over now, so praise the Lord for that. Did anybody make any New Year's resolutions? Does anybody do that? No? Nobody does. I've got one. I've got one for you, okay? You've all heard that I said that I want to be the crazy lady. I want to be the one to stand up for Jesus and have my daughter sit in the back pew and be like, what in the world? There she goes again. What am I going to do with her? Because she's going to remember that. I do. I remember my uncle standing up and testifying and crying and shouting. And it's a good time. It's a good time. And I want to be that for her, for a friend, for anybody else who's going to think, what in the world? Because later on down the line, if they think I'm crazy now, they're going to say, you know, she had something, and I want what she's got. So this song is called Dare to Be Different. And, you know, when you live a life for Christ, you are different, and people can see that. And so that is one of my New Year's resolutions, to strengthen my bond with Christ and continue to be different and to be set apart so that people can see that. So if you make any New Year's resolutions, add that one. It's a good one. The world has much to offer to each of us today. They say just do your own thing, it's your life anyway. But God has told us plainly that we must come out from them and be a separate people if we're gonna live for him. So I'll dare to be different in a world of compromise. And I'll stand for you, Jesus, though I might be criticized. For me, you were ridiculed, mocked, and crucified. So I'll dare to be different, set apart and sanctified. Now I may not be famous, and my name may never be in bright lights and bold letters for all the world to see. But I can hold my head up high, though different I may be. For I know when my Jesus comes, I'll live forever as royalty. So I'll dare to be different in a world of compromise. And I'll stand for you, Jesus, though I might be criticized. For me, you ridiculed, mocked, and crucified. So I'll dare to be different, set apart and sanctified.
Thank you, ladies, for your special, and choir, and Kathleen, for all your efforts you put forth to bless us so wonderfully. And I have to say this, Donna, it was so good to hear you. Donna used to sing for us every once in a while, and then she got to where she just couldn't make it through because of her voice, and boy, you were sounding great, powerful, and glad to hear you. I really am, because we haven't heard from you for a long time, and God bless you. We're so glad to all of you share, but I mean, that was a blessing. Here, Donna, again, you know, because, gosh, I know she wants to, but she had a tough time for a long while. Great, that's great. Just picked up a couple of verses for you. As you know, we're dealing with Luke chapter 9, and we're mostly from 57 through 61. We're going to try to impress upon us and encourage us each other and admonish us to go forth. Forward and in the labor of the Lord. Let me, before I get started, though, I did miss two things that I wanted to announce. You folks who made it through last year reading the Bible, please finish your name, make sure your name's on the list back there and completed. And if you haven't got your name and you did read through, well, just put it on there and put finished. And so we want to recognize you for that. And several of you did, and so that's good. Also, our Bible study tonight, we got started on it last week. And what we're doing, we're looking in the Bible, we're talking, we're discussing of things because we want to be better witnesses, we want to be better winners for the Lord. And so we're talking about soul winning and such. And so some very good discussions in the last few meetings we've had. And tonight, it's going to be a very special time, a subject, something that you need to deal with. Once the scripture says that we need to be ready to give answer, we're not to know everything there is in the Bible, but we ought to be able to answer the most things that people deal with, most things that people has on their mind, most things that they question about, or the most things that they want to try to apply to make that's not truly scriptural, but apply to their life to satisfy what they desire to know, I guess, or to believe. And so tonight we're going to deal with one of the subjects that was brought up last week, really, that I'm jumping ahead on. But I think it's really important for us to see what the Bible says about it and each one of the things that we look into. And when you are settled in that, that makes a stronger witness to others, and that will help you and be more confident for you of sharing. And we want to encourage everybody to share with others. Last Sunday, I'll get off my sermon here. Last Sunday evening, after I left Bible study, well, Maxine thought she would have thought maybe a milkshake would help her and settle her stomach a little bit. So we stopped over to the hilltop here to the truck stop and got them. And as I was standing there, there was a colored fella here, and he had already ordered, and he was waiting for his order, and I ordered, and so while he was making, I just stepped over. And I had a little fun time with the waitress there with the coins and paying for it, you know. And so this colored fella looked at me and said, are you a CEO? I said, yeah. I said, I guess you could call that. And he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. He said, well, I thought maybe you was. And so he put his, I had my hand like that. He put his hand down beside my hand and he said, can I ask you something? He said, what color do you see there? And I said, well, I see with my eye, but with my mind and my heart, I don't see any difference. He said, oh, yes, you do with your eye. I said, yeah. I said, it looks to me like it's black and white. And so kind of got a little discussion there about that. And I thought, boy, this, I wish I had time, but this is a good time to witness, you know, to this guy. And it dawned on me, nobody's stepping up to the cash register, I mean, to order. And I looked around and there's about six people. And they're all eyes is on he and I, you know, because when I said, and he said, he said, they're brown. And I guess I said kind of loudly, I said, well, you might see it that way, but I said, I see no difference, but if you want to know what my eyes see, it's black and white. And they were paying attention to what was going on there instead of order. And I thought, boy, I'd just like to sit down with this guy and talk to him a while. But anyhow, I had a few more words and encouraged and said, God bless you and so forth. And we had. So, boy, I mean, you can find times that there's questions. And, you know, I hope I answered him right and so forth, that he was all right. I thought maybe that those people thought that we might be in an argument, but it was great. So good times. We want to be able to share with people and encourage them, you know, and so forth. So this morning I want to talk to you about, as you know, John Buddha, profitable plowing. Profitable plowing. And here I got this little story, and it's in the Seattle newspaper and also CNN headline this story. And I'll just go on and read it to you where I got it from, as I got it. Wednesday, February the 20th, 2019, CNN headline. Seattle has been suffering through its snowiest February in 70 years, with accumulation up to 10 inches in some places. But all that white has meant green for one young man with a snowplow who says he made $35,000 in 4 days. Now, it goes on to say, David Holston, 18 years of age, landscape worker from Idaho. His mother was in the hospital there having surgery at Seattle, and he was visiting. So while he was going and the snow was coming, he puts an ad on Craigslist about snow removal. While he was visiting his mother, he got a call and got $1,000 offer to come and clean this lot. While he was cleaning that lot, he kept getting call after call after call on his cell phone. And the long story short, the cards, he said, in 4 days, he made $35,000. Pretty profitable plowing, isn't it? And so he goes on and to say then, he give a telling the news people there, Holson said he planned to donate 20% of his to his church, buy some lawn equipment, and will save the rest to put toward his first house. And so Holson goes on to say he credits his faith for his success, and said his theme Bible verse for this trip is Luke 12:31, which most of you know, but seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So here, but I don't know. I'm not sure all of his application here, but that's pretty profitable plowing. And I thought, you know, that's true for Christians. As we witness, as we share, as we go forth sharing the gospel, it's profitable. And 1 Timothy 4:8 says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and that was, and is to come. So the scripture talks about quite a different places we find it's profitable. And I found that it's very profitable to be a Christian. I can't make $35,000 in 4 days, but it's very profitable to be a Christian. And we want to just share a few thoughts with you this morning. We read God delivering the Israelites out of Israel. We read that time after time. And every time they looked back, they fell into discouragement and they failed to do and enjoy what God wanted for them. And God had promised them, you go right on a promised land. Got a plan for you. You go. And you know, when they were up and going and headed straight forward and plowing right on toward the promised land, God really blessed them, and it was profitable for them then to keep doing what God said to do. So this morning, as I say, there's profitable plowing when Jesus says, follow me, and I want to encourage you that your life will be, you will profit in various ways following Jesus. And so therefore it was profitable for them to keep looking toward the goal that God has for in store for them. God's goal was what? Was to bring them into this land overflowing with milk and honey. They'd been in Egypt and in slavery. They came through the wilderness. They didn't eat like they'd like to, but God furnished for them what they needed to get there. But when they got to the promised land, they found, you know, great, wonderful, abundant things. So it was a great profit for them to do and follow and go and do what God says to do. So God has a goal for you and me, and if we keep looking to Jesus, we'll get there. And certainly if we keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our hand on the plow, and keep going forward and following Jesus, and we'll fulfill our plan, and we'll reach heaven. And that's our goal, isn't it? We want to one day. We know that this life is not all there is. And we know this life is going to fade away. And we're going to leave this life. And God has promised us there's a place, a dwelling place. He's promised us a land that's really wonderful, glorious, and great, called heaven. And we'll make that if we'll keep our eye forward and looking straight and follow on with Jesus. James 2 and 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say has faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" So we've talked and just, you know, and we're throwing some of these things out there just kind of to, not to be funny, but kind of to be a little bit humorous to you. And when talking about plowing, and we're going to be talking about plowing, that is going forth and sowing this good seed of God to the peoples around us. So he says, what does it profit here then? If a man have faith, he don't work. So what if we would read that like this? What does it profit, my brother, though a man says he hath faith and he does not plow? Can faith alone profit? James says to profit, one must work. If we're going to be profitable in the kingdom, we must be busy plowing and planting the gospel seed. The good news, the wonderful word of God, we must work the works of God. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, "I've come to work the works of my Father." And he came and he talked. Jesus lived in the age where it was agricultural, period. We didn't have factories and all that stuff. It was agricultural. They depended upon agriculture. That's why Jesus uses all those things. He talks about the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the foxes with the holes and the plowing of the land and so forth. And people knew what he was talking about then. There's probably some of our young people, when we talk about plowing, they probably don't know what we're talking about. But most of you here are country people, and if you're raised up on the farms and so forth, and we know that's a task, that's a job, that's something you have to do, that's something you have to concentrate on, that's something you have to keep your eye on. And so Jesus uses those terms. Well, they know what he's talking about. So here, we need then, we well know, if a farmer does not plow his field, plant good seed, he'll not have a harvest. In other words, if he fails to plow and plant, he'll not profit. And we've seen that happen. Maxine and I, when we bought our farm over here years ago, and we still lived in Indiana, and we had a little fellow by a cousin named John Mann, moved on our farm, and little Johnny, and he was a bachelor, and he lived there on our farm, and we thought, boy, this is just going to be great, but it was. We had a good time with him, but he wasn't much of a farmer. And so I don't know whether some of you fellas know about the corn, when the government had this corn subsidy, and you don't raise corn, they would pay you so much an acre for not raising corn. And so little John said, well, he said, I think I'll plant this ridge over here in corn. And I said, okay, do that. It's okay with me. And of course, we raised tobacco then. And he raised the tobacco. And but he had more days he couldn't. He was like the Jews. He had more days he couldn't work than he could work. And if you go into the scripture, the Testament, the Jews actually had more days they couldn't work than they could work. And Johnny was like that. But anyhow, I didn't know about this corn thing, you know, that you could sign up and they would pay you for not raising corn. So come fall, we came over and Johnny said, well, I'm going to pick corn this week. And I said, okay. We had a crib there. And the next week we came over, and Maxine and I would come over on a weekend, and we were building a house there and different things and on the farm. And I walked down to the corn crib, and there was about four wheelbar loads of corn. And I says, "Is this all we got, Johnny?" He said, "Yeah." And, you know, and but in the meantime, some of the neighbors had told me about they were signing their corn ground up, you know. And I looked in, and I said, $400. Johnny, it wasn't much profit, but we lacked old Johnny, so we didn't worry about that. So, yeah, if you don't plow and plant and take care of, you're not going to profit. And if you're going to live the Christian life, if you don't do the things that Christians ought to do, you're not going to profit much. And so we got to work the works of God. Jesus says so. And so Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of lips tendeth only to penury." Another way of putting it is he who labors will profit, but he that stands around and talk will go to poverty. This verse says, in all labor, there's profit. If a man works at his trade, he gains. If he cultivate the earth, it will yield its increase. You people know, you've raised on a farm, you know, you've had gardens, and we know that if we cultivate the earth, it will have an increase, and the proportion of our labors, so will be the profit. But he who talketh much, labors little, comes up short. And a man of words is seldom a man of deeds, has been said. It is best said, less talk and more work produces profit. Very true. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brother, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labors is not in vain in the Lord." And so isn't it wonderful? And you folks have experienced it. You've farmed, you've had a good garden and so forth, and it's produced for you, and you enjoy the fruits. And so you could say your labor wasn't in vain. You're plowing, you're tending, you're hoeing, and so forth. It was all done, and you profited from it. It wasn't in vain. And the Lord says, the Lord's work done. What you do for the Lord, what you go forth and sharing and encouraging and doing for the Lord and the kingdom, your labor is not in vain. And so it would behoove us, if we want to have a more productive Christian life, if we want to enjoy more of the good things that God has for us, just get more productive. Get more productive in the kingdom. Get busy at doing things that God would have you to do. It's a great profit from those things. Always abounding in the work. The Lord says, the work of the Lord is obedience to his word. And so every believer in Christ is a workman. Every person here is a workman in Christ. Every Christian is a workman in Christ. And we must be about the Lord's business. He that works, brings glory to God, but he that doesn't work certainly doesn't bring glory and honor to God. He must not only work, but abound in the work, it says here. And that means abound means be a part of it. What's going on at all times? Be there, do what's necessary to be done. And so that abounding has the meaning of always being there. We must not only work when it's convenient, but be abounding in it. When it's not convenient, do those things which we ought to do that is in the sight of God. Listen, folks, if we will take hold of the plow and plant this area, we shall have a harvest for God. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I'm going to come one day," and he said, "I'm going to reap the harvest." And he's going to be the one, you know, like on the threshing floor, that's going to separate the and divide and take to himself his own. And so we want to be a part of that. So if we hold the plow and plow and go straight, we shall have a harvest for God. And we have 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit." He says, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Another says, to another way it's said in another translation says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the scriptures teaches us very well that what you do for the Lord, you're going to be rewarded for it. What you do for the Lord is not going to be in vain. Now, I'm sure if you were a visitor and you came to America and you visited churches across America, around this country today, you would probably come to the conclusion that church exists really solely for meeting on Sunday. But the Bible doesn't teach that, does it? The Bible doesn't teach that. Everything is geared toward Bible school. We do that. We come, we have Bible school, then we have singing and prayers and worship and sermons and so forth, and then we dismiss and go away until the next Sunday, it seems like, comes around. But some of you people are doing more than that. But that's usually the normal thing, and we see that happen. That's why some of the people that want likes the mega churches, because they can just go in and they go out, they're never noticed, they don't do nothing, so forth. Next Sunday, they do the same thing. The Bible doesn't put that away. There's work to be done, and we must be doing that work, and we're encouraged to do that work, and we will profit from doing that. The scripture teaches us very well. And so I'm sure that you people understand, because what you do and what I see you doing, that you understand there's more than Sunday morning hour in a church house, that there's things to be done. The Bible teaches the church is not an organization that exists solely for a nice Sunday morning meeting. And you know, I'm afraid that that's true, that some people just look at that way. Well, it's Sunday, and we're going to go to the Sunday meeting, and when that's over, well, we'll go play golf, which that's all right. You can do what you want to after the meeting. But you know, they think that's it. That's just that 1 hour on Sunday morning. But the scriptures teaches us that there's things to be done. We're going to follow Jesus and look at what he has done and look what he says. We'll be busy about the kingdom, that's for sure. So I'm not saying that that's the sole purpose of the church. I'm not saying that what you're doing isn't good. I'm saying what you're doing is very, very good. I would that every person in America today would be where you're sitting today, somewhere in the Lord's house. That's necessary. We need to do that. That's the purpose of the church, is to come together, to edify one another, encourage one another, and then to make disciples. We here in our study, in our encouragement, in our Bible study and so forth, is to work toward encouraging other people to get involved in the work of the Lord. You know, too often we have, and we have that in the mega church today, we have 5 preachers in one church, and so they do all the things there and so forth. So the people really don't take up to do too much. And so that's not the way it ought to be. You people here, you do all the things around here, you do what's necessary, and you encourage people, and you're here. That's a wonderful thing. So what you're doing this morning is very, very important to you, your life, and to one another. How encouraging it is to look and to see people like you of such faith, of the same faith, in looking for the Lord, worshiping him, looking for him to work in your lives. The work of the church is to open the doors to the captive. Jesus said, you know, you come to set the captive free. And so the work of the church is to open the doors to the captive. Set people free. To set people free that are bound with such things as, you know, people are imprisoned with doubt. They're imprisoned by fear and anxiety and selfishness. And so our job is to encourage them to look for the better things that God has for them to do and not be set around and be, as Jesus put, you know, the fact that, you know, people are prisoned and they're broken and they're in that, and they can't get out. They're fixed on such things that's hard and damaging to their life, and Christians like you need to encourage them to come to the Lord and let the Lord deal with them in his way and enjoy that. So the church exists to teach people to grip the gospel and then go out and share it. In fact, the church is disciples, so to speak, learners of Christ, and the scriptures teaches us that we are to make disciples. So we must be sharing what we know, and we must be equipping ourselves to share more and more with people who do not know, so that they can become then disciples, and they can go out and be disciples. That's what the commission says in Matthew. Matthew records what Jesus said of the Great Commission. He said, go into all nations and teach people. And then it comes, and then he says, you know, as you teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe what I've taught you so that they can teach somebody else. It's just a disciple-making process. And so that's what the church has to do. So as we gather and encourage one another, we ought to encourage each other to share the wonderful things that we know. We need to understand. We need to look for ourselves. These people that's been reading the Bible this year, through the Bible, they've gained insight, more insight, and will help them in this coming year to do what God would have them to do. So in 1 Corinthians 12:17, and following, the Apostle Paul lists many gifts given by the Spirit. And we just noticed that we just enjoyed some gifts here this morning. And so the Apostle says, many gifts are given by the Spirit. Every born-again Christian is gifted with a spirit or more. Like maybe some of us might have been standing behind the door when the Holy Spirit gives out, I don't know, but I kind of believe that everybody has at least one gift. One gift or more. And we ought to be using those gifts in various ways, however we can, to bless people, as our people did this morning, of singing and blessings. I mean, it's a blessing to see folks sing and those messages that comes forth from that music. It's wonderful. And there's people that are talented to do other things. There's people that's talented to teach. There's people that's talented to clean this house. I mean, if I cleaned this house, you probably say, well, boy, what'd you do? But when you see you people come here and do it, I mean, you can appreciate that. They're talented in doing those things. Whatever you're talented in, we're to use. So it may be that some of your, we know that we're all talented in different ways. We're given gifts of the Spirit, and we're to use those. But if we are to use every talent this church has, if we're going to be a profitable church unto the Lord our God, we must put our hands to the plow and not look back. We must be busy out there doing. It may be that you're here this morning and you've not made that real commitment. Maybe you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you just haven't made a commitment to, hey, I want to really follow Jesus. I want to get out there busy. I want to be in this kingdom. I want to share with others. I want to equip myself, and I want to be a part of that will equip me to share with others. And so I want to plow a straight road for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be fruitful in his land. And I know as I do those things, it'll be a profit. Yeah. For the person that you teach, that you share with, and it'll be a profit for you. Maybe the question this morning as we come to invitation, are you profiting from following Jesus? If not, you might be not following. And so you might want to come and commit yourself to truly follow Jesus and profit from your labors. Stand as we sing, first verse.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks. We've been in the Lord's house this morning. As always, we just appreciate it so much. It's really encouraging to you. Next week, we're going to talk. You know, last week we talked about the third man that came and told Jesus he would follow. Told Jesus he would follow him. Next week, we're going to talk about the guy that Jesus, you know, one of the hard sayings. And I think one time I preached a little series on the hard sayings of Jesus, but I don't think I preached on go bury the dead. And so next week, we're going to say, you know, let the dead bury the dead. That's going to be the title for next week. And we're going to talk about Jesus and the conversations that man and what possibly took place there. So hopefully that'll be interesting to you. And hopefully you'll have a great week. And so God bless you as you, you know, I know the Lord's blessing you. I can see that all around you. But what a blessing it is to have people like you to be associated with and to be encouraged by. And God bless you in it. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how we thankful for us are at this time. That we have good people and people that really desire to do your will and want to share and with others this wonderful good news. And we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you tell us that our labor is not in vain, that you reward us very well for it. And you demonstrate that day by day, dear Heavenly Father, and we thank you for it. But in more than that, you have promised us, those who will continue to labor in your kingdom, that one day we'll all be ushered into the great glorious place called heaven. And Heavenly Father, that's our goal. And that's our goal, and we know that that's your goal for us. And so help us do that. But our desire, Heavenly Father, is to take as many people with us as we can. So help us, Heavenly Father, as we go forth this week, wherever we might see someone, wherever we might have the opportunity to share a word with them, help us to do that, dear God. Now we pray, Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving for each person present here this morning. We pray as we leave here, dear God, you would go with us. The Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us this week. Bring good things to us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to have a safe week. Help us to have a profitable week in the Lord. We pray and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.